The title of my talk is Attributor, Revenue Debugging in Advertising Systems. This is joint work with Ranjita, Rahul, George, Surya, Hemant, and Piyush, all at Microsoft. So advertising systems are really complex, and they're complex for two reasons. One is just the sheer scale, and two is the number of entities they interact with. At the core, there are users who navigate to websites, publisher websites like Bing.com, Yahoo.com, or other websites. And when the users view or click on ads on these sites, the publisher earns revenue. And this is facilitated by ad systems, which interact with almost millions of advertisers. And then what they do is run real-time ad auctions and determine what ads to show on which website for which user. And also they manage the ad revenue by charging advertisers, paying publishers, and so on. Advertising system also has to deal with a bunch of fraud operators who are also there trying to somewhat usurp the ad revenue. And at the core, right, advertising system is basically a large-scale distributed system, thousands of servers across several data centers running all these auctions and managing more than hundreds of millions of such interactions every day. So these are complex systems, and the problem we are looking at is revenue debugging. Trying to answer a question like this: why is revenue at a given time down anomalously? What is the cause for this? From the question itself, you can see there are two components here. The first is really figuring out, is a change in revenue anomalous or not, which is really the anomaly detection problem. And the second part is answering the why. In this talk, I'm going to focus on the root cause. There are lots of techniques for anomaly detection, including you can do autoregressive models and so on. So for this talk, I'm going to assume there is an anomaly which is given, and we just want to explain why it happens. And I'll talk about a few examples, real-world examples, of why an anomaly, revenue anomaly might happen. So in one case, a data center in Dublin had a software upgrade which created some latency issues, which resulted in fewer ads being shown, because of which revenue was down. In another case, buckets. These are experimental trials, so there's hundreds of trials running every day on these systems trying to improve the algorithm and performance and so on. And a couple of buckets had tried to use a new relevance algorithm, which did not work as expected. So ad relevance went down, which resulted in fewer ads being clicked, and revenue goes down. Interestingly, the Pope election, which happened last year, that could be a root cause too. So, for example, users were searching for things like Pope or papal election results, and advertisers, there are not many advertisers who can advertise for those keywords. And again, revenue goes down. So the paper has a lot more of these examples, and you can see there's a whole wide range of root causes why something like this might happen. So before I proceed, just some terminology. The one in red, revenue, those are what we call measures. And the revenue per search is a combination, a function of two measures, revenue and searches, that we call derived measures. And so the anomaly detection runs on a bunch of these. There's hundreds of these measures that we track and run anomaly detection on. And then the goal of root cause is to come up with these things in blue and green, the dimensions and the values that try to explain it. Right? So we're going to come up saying, if there's an anomaly in revenue, which of these is responsible for it? Okay, so just an overview of the talk. What we have in this paper is three items. One is an algorithm for coming up with these dimension value elements that explain the root cause. The second is, how do you do attribution for derived measures, like revenue per search? We'll see that it's important and also not trivial. And finally, we built a tool which uses these techniques and tries to do this in real time during the production, and we see about 95% accuracy for this tool and saves 1 hour on average of manual troubleshooting time. So with that, this is going to be the outline for the rest of the talk. I'll go with a few characteristics of ad systems and then walk through an example of how we figure out root cause analysis is done, and then show you the algorithm. Then I'll describe how we do attribution for derived measures, and then a brief demo of the tool. You can see how the tool looks and what it does, and a brief evaluation as well. Okay? So the first characteristic of these ad systems is just because of their sheer scale. If you look at a lot of systems and network diagnosis papers, the way it typically works is you collect a bunch of traces. As a request flows through the system, say a load balancer, web server, database, you collect system calls or other logs as the request flows, and then what you're trying to do is figure out where is a performance or a failure bottleneck. Because of the sheer scale of the ad systems, this is infeasible. So what we basically work with are these counters, aggregate values of lots of measures. So, for example, number of searches in the last 15 minutes or 1 hour, number of ads shown, revenue, and so on. There's like hundreds of such counters that we monitor, and that's what we use to debug. So that's the first characteristic. The second characteristic is there is lots of different types of measures. So at the bottom in the red, what I have there is what we call fundamental measures, like number of searches, number of dollars earned, whatever it is. These are additive and simple. But the system also tracks a bunch of derived measures, which are sort of functions of many fundamental measures, like revenue divided by search, cost divided by number of clicks. And there's a whole bunch of such measures. And we'll see why we need such measures and how to root cause them. The third part is what I alluded to earlier. Basically, the whole problem is multidimensional. So if you look at some networking diagnostic papers, the problem is you have a latency increase or something like that. You want to split it across different elements and say, oh, maybe it is because of the end host or maybe it's because of the router and so on. Here, there is lots of dimensions. So revenue can be sliced by number of publishers, number of buckets, number of advertisers. And so all of them sort of additively are equivalent. And you want to figure out which dimension it is first before identifying component of the dimension. And there are hundreds of dimensions. In fact, this paper, we only deal with 33. But as we scale the system, we want to take into account more and more of these dimensions. So let's work through an example of root cause analysis. Right? So hypothetical example, let's say revenue was $100, went down to $80, and the 20% change, let's say, is large enough to be termed an anomaly. And we want to explain this. What are the potential root causes? Well, first, maybe a data center had $18 less revenue for that period. That looks like a root cause. Maybe three advertisers spent $20 less. That could be another root cause. Maybe 10 buckets, which resulted in $20 less revenue. Maybe that's a root cause. So the question is, so we have maybe hundreds of these different options, and then we want to bubble up which we think are most likely the root cause. So how would we go about it? So the first thing we do is what we look at is explanatory power and succinctness. This is pretty standard. Lots of systems do this. Score, for example, uses the same thing. The idea is the root cause has to explain it, and it should be succinct. So here on the pie charts, what I show is basically the contribution to that $20 change, right? $20, who's responsible for those $20? Which elements? So data center X, for example, 90% is responsible for 90% of the $20. And so on and so forth for different elements there. And the explanatory power basically says the root cause should explain most of the change. The succinctness is basically the Occam's razor principle, which says it cannot be lots and lots of elements which try to explain a single root cause. It's likely to be fewer elements. When we throw in these criteria, you could say, data center equals X. Single element explains 90% of the change, likely to be a root cause. Or maybe you would say there are three advertisers who explain 100% of the change. Maybe they are the root cause. But at least you could probably eliminate the flights because it's unlikely that 10 different flights all contribute 2% each or 10% each to the total change. Now, how would you distinguish between these two? First guess, maybe data center explains 90%. Maybe that's one item. Maybe that's a better root cause. And to distinguish this, we introduce this notion of surprise. If you look at the same thing in a different way, let's say, what is the relative contribution of different elements of a data center? Here, what it turns out is you have graph on the X left, which is the relative contribution of data center, both expected and actual. On the right is for the advertisers. And what you see is this data center was already dealing with 90% of the traffic. It is dealing with 90% of the expected traffic. And it's dealing with 90% of the actual traffic. And so it explains 90% of the change. That's not very surprising because it was a bulk of the revenue anyway. And so it's not surprising that it explains bulk of the change. Whereas if you look at the advertiser, there is lots of flux in their relative contributions. So maybe that's more likely because it's a little more unexpected or surprising that there is all this change in their behavior. So this intuition we capture by trying to find elements that deviate most. We use the measure, relative entropy measure, which is sort of the information gain between the actual and expected values in the probability. And the specific term we use is JS divergence, the more detail in the paper why we use that. But what we're trying to see is there information, anomalous information in these elements, which can explain. And when we apply this criteria, it's likely that the advertiser is the root cause. So the algorithm that we want is we want to find the dimension and smallest set of values that maximally explain the anomalous change while maximizing surprise. So it's a multi-objective optimization problem. And the way we work is we basically come up with a greedy algorithm, put constraints on the size, set size, and what it needs to explain, and then try to maximize surprise. More details, but the algorithm is fairly simple and straightforward. The next piece that I want to talk about is basically attribution for derived measures. So first question is, why do you need these derived measures? So I have three tables there. One is showing estimated and actual revenue for advertisers. The next table is showing estimated and actual number of clicks. And the third is a derived measure, which is cost per click. So revenue divided by clicks for the same advertisers. Now, if you look at the change in both revenue and the number of clicks, both are below the 20% threshold, let's say, which we won't call anomaly, right? So maybe there is nothing anomalous going on here. But if you look at this derived measure, there is a 22.5% change, and that is anomalous. So what this derived measure is capturing is correlation between different measures. If they are correlated in a particular way, maybe there is something bad. So if you just look at the fundamental or basic measures, you will not find these anomalies. So you have to operate in this derived measure space to figure out these correlations and identify these anomalies. So that's what the derived measures helps with. How do we attribute causes to derived measures? So if you look at that table, there's a 22.5% negative change in cost per click. But if you look at advertiser A1, there is no change in advertiser A1 cost per click. No change in A2s. In fact, A3's cost per click actually goes up, and no change in A4. So if you just look at cost per click measure, you cannot tell who's responsible. In fact, it turns out nobody's responsible. Couldn't have gone down, should have gone up, right? And the flaw in the argument here is we should not be really looking at the derived measure space because those are functions, and they're not additive. So if you look at that, you can't do the attribution. So how would we attribute this change to one of the advertisers? So the intuition we have is what we want to do is sort of keep everybody else the same. So assume that all the other advertisers performed as expected and only one advertiser had an actual behavior. Compute the cost per click using that and then see what the difference is to the total, and that we can attribute to an advertiser. And this is sort of captured by the idea of partial derivatives. And since this is discrete domain, we have to do finite differences, but fundamentally it's trying to do partial derivative-based attribution. And when you do that, what you find is advertiser A1 is in fact most responsible for this. Even though his cost per click did not change, it was 0.5 before and 0.5 after, what has happened is the revenue for this advertiser has gone down 5x, the number of clicks has gone down 5x, and so this is an advertiser who has a very high cost per click, who's doing very little business, and so he's brought down the overall cost per click. And so this is, again, important because you want to figure out and see whether there's a problem here, is there advertiser having problems, can we go fix it or not. So I'll quickly do a brief, show you the tool, how it works here. So what happens is the tool runs in real time. Whenever an anomaly is detected, it goes, collects all the data, runs the algorithms, and then creates this HTML5 app, which then the troubleshooter looks at. So this is an example of an alert on revenue per searches for the UK market for ads shown on mobile devices. And as you can see, the one on the left is a bunch of measures we showed in a dependency graph. And what you see there is basically some of these sensitive terms have been sort of elided, but the things which have really changed are shown in red, which is revenue, revenue per search, and cost per click. They have the most deviation. The ones on the right is the graph. So the x-axis is basically 1 week worth of data. And the red line is the current week, and the other lines are the previous weeks. And you can see towards the end, there is a huge spike in revenue per searches. And let's look at revenue again. So here you see this nice diagonal pattern over 1 week, and towards the end, there is a spike. In fact, revenue has gone up 130%. Of course, one may wonder, why do you care if revenue is going up? Do you want to bother about it? But the reason is you don't know whether it's because of fraud, because of some error in logging. So there's lots of reasons why you track both revenue going up and down. And what the system sort of shows here is it says the top three suspects are root causes for this revenue going up. Turns out in this dimension called advertiser account number, Apple UK comes up at the top. There's a dimension called advertiser. Advertiser can have multiple accounts. Again, Apple shows up and it says Apple is responsible for 74% of this anomalous change. And then we sort of show what we think are the top three reasons. The third one is something called depth, which shows where. And you can see the behavior of all these are similar. Where in the page the ads are being shown and what is their thing. And you can see they're similar. And then the manual troubleshooter looks at it and says, this is the week when iPhone 5 is being released. It makes sense that the budget for this advertiser is going up. So there is nothing to worry here, and he can move on. So it just bubbles up the most interesting aspects. And then there are lots of other things here I don't have time to go into. But the whole idea is to make the manual troubleshooter job quick and easy. OK, so there's lots of evaluation in the paper. I'll just have one slide here. We went through about 128 anomalies over a two-week period. These are anomalies generated on real traffic over 8 markets, both ads shown on PC and mobile. And what we did was we took the attributor output, compared it with the manual troubleshooting results, and sort of sat with them and went through each of those. About 90% of them, it matched exactly, so there was nothing to worry about there. In 4 cases, we found, interestingly, that the manual troubleshooter's result was actually erroneous. The attributor tool was more likely to be the root cause. And that shows sort of the value of doing this in, exhaustively looking at all dimensions, whereas a manual troubleshooter might be prone to sort of looking at biased sample of results. This sort of exhaustively throws up every dimension that is out there. Also, attributor, on the other hand, had errors, about 5 of them in this case. And it turned out this were mostly because attributor has access to a certain set of data. It's not complete. Whereas the manual troubleshooter has domain knowledge and access to other data sources and other things that we are not privy to, so we cannot really root cause things which are not there. So in our total, about we had an accuracy of 95%, which is quite good, at least the first trial. And we estimate that time saved would be about an hour of manual troubleshooter for each alert on average. So summing up, there's related work. There is lots of work in systems and networking. And, there's the fault isolation performance work like Score and Sherlock. There is the network traffic pattern finding like autofocus and hierarchical heavy hitters and so on. There's work on data summarization and data mining and revenue debugging as well. So we sort of split into like 3 categories. The root causing is pretty much similar among all these different domains. You're basically looking to explain the change in as few elements as possible. The multiple dimensionality, different techniques, different systems use different techniques, like autofocus does combination of dimensions using different heuristics. What we look at is surprise, this measure of surprise to separate out the dimensions. And as far as we know, derived measures have not been looked at least in this domain. So that's all I have. The summary, advertising systems are incredibly complex. There's lots of data. And you want to bubble up the most interesting things for the persons to look at. And so we have an algorithm which we believe helps with root cause analysis. We also have this technique for derived measures, which operate in the derived measure space. And we have this tool, which is running in production, which has 95% accuracy and saves about 1 hour of manual troubleshooting time. So with that, thank you. And I can ready to take questions.
Hello. I have a question. How would you expand this tool on new markets? You analyze only 4 countries, but there is many more.
Sure. So what we have, the evaluation results we show are on those 4 markets. But right now, I think it's running about on 20 markets. It depends on how many markets are being actively monitored.
And what about this HTML5 application? Is it available for people to try?
Not right now, but we can consider at some point maybe open sourcing it. But right now, it's not open.
Can the data collected by attributor be used to create a trending analysis and to estimate for this particular advertiser, it's better to maybe move their advertisement from this frame of the page to this side because it's earning more revenue there based on the past history? You see.
I understand your question. So there is actually lots of sort of complementary or orthogonal problems in this space. And what you mentioned is one, which is trying to maximize the advertiser's return on investment is a good problem. So I think they are all related, but also distinct in some ways, right? So we can use some of the data here to do that. But I think there's those separate problems in its own right. So I think they're all interlinked. There's a whole bunch of problems in this space. And I think what you point to is one of those. Yeah.
And another thing is, does this take network latency into consideration when calculating these anomalies?
So good question. So again, we have lots of counters and dimensions. The network latency comes bubbled up into a dimension which is data center, or logical data center, how well data center is performing. Deep down, if you dig, there's different latency counters, which also you can go drill down. So I think you can think of root cause analysis as like multiple layers. So one layer is you'll isolate to a data center, or logical rack, and then you look at the next layer of counters and so on.
Okay. About slide number 10, I believe, you had a counter parameter that said smallest set. It's relative to what? As in a set based on size based on what?
Well, okay. The smallest was just Occam's razor principle, right? So it cannot be, if all your results are like 100 elements long, then it's unlikely. Most likely there's 1 or 2 elements which are the root cause. So the smallest is in that sense. You want few elements which explain it.
Thank you.
One more question.
This seems to be very relevant for any type of alarm troubleshooting. How are you guys trying to abstract this for just normal online services? I imagine non-cloud computing, Azure must have, could use something like
this. Yes, actually, it's a very good question. I have an extra slide for that. It's not specific to advertising. So we are looking at some problems, like problems in diagnosis in data centers. There's a paper by Bodick some few years ago. Can we use similar techniques to explain slowdown in networks? Slowdown and like failures in Azure. So again, the principles are similar, but maybe the domain is different, and we have to figure out how to match this.
Can I just complement my question? So I guess a more focused question would be, how much effort is it on creating a domain-specific troubleshooter or domain map and dimension map versus having something that can pick up a new service? We feed in thousands of metrics, and it can create the matrices and the multidimensional matrix.
We believe the principles are fundamental. But again, I've not yet done these things, so I can't claim how easy it is. Once maybe I have some experience working with other systems, I can comment on that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's like our speaker.